Welcome to another exciting episode of Queer Radio, KWIR Radio, right here on Local 107.3 FM. I'm Stephanie Tierney. I'm going to be with you for the next half an hour on today's show, part one of a three-part interview with Mac McKenzie, a gentleman who is quite active in the LGBTQ plus community in St. John, and we're going to have some insight from him, so stick around. This is the third episode of Queer Radio. That's spelled K-W-I-R. You can find me on Facebook under the same name. And I post news stories and updates about what's coming up on the show in the coming weeks and things like that. So if you want to head on over there and click like, you can stay up to date with everything that's happening right here on this fine radio station and show. And I'm Stephanie, and thanks for tuning in again. I had a wonderful opportunity to speak with Mac McKenzie this past Friday evening, and we talked for almost an hour. I think we talked for about 56 minutes. So I've decided I'm going to split the interview into three parts, and also probably supplement that with some music that Mac has picked out. And I'm going to be talking later on the show about resources for you if you're out there listening and you identify as LGBTQ plus. I'm going to give you some hotlines and some websites and some email addresses, and if you need help, those resources are out there for you. You can also reach out to me on my Facebook page, which is Queer, K-W-I-R, and I can definitely point you in some directions if you're looking for help. If you are living in the Greater St. John area and you're listening to this program and you're interested in participating, please email me at stephanie@cfmh. I'm always eager to meet new people in the LGBTQ plus community, and we're always interested here at the radio station in hearing your stories and your struggles and your successes and all that beautiful experience. So don't be afraid to reach out, stephanie@cfmh.ca. And if you are out there and listening and interested in doing your own program, you can also reach out. We're always looking for interesting new programs to have at our station. So feel free to reach out. If you're tuning in for the third time to Queer Radio, you'll know that I am brand new to doing interview and spoken word type radio programming. I've been involved in community radio since 1989, and I've always just done open format music shows, but this is my first foray into interviewing and that kind of thing, and so I'm still kind of finding my way, and so you'll have to pardon me. I'm going to be playing about 19 minutes of this interview, and then it kind of cuts off in a kind of clunky way. But what I'm going to do next week and the week after is I will just play the last few minutes of the previous episodes so that you'll have some contextual reference to where we are in the interview. And what else is there to say? You're listening to Local 107.3 FM on your radio dial. You can also tune in online at localfm.ca, and you can stream online. And so if you have friends that are living outside of the St. John area and you think they'd be interested in our programming, they can tune in there. So we're gonna head over and have a chat with Mac McKenzie, and I guess before I play that, I should tell you a little bit more about Mac. Mac McKenzie has worked with the LGBT community for over a decade in various capacities, but primarily as a facilitator with the St. John chapter of PFLAG Canada, and is the co-creator of the National Communities Encourage campaign. He has served as president of the UMB SJQ Collective, which was a student-run organization for the social, educational, and advocacy of the LGBTQ students, faculty, and staff at UMB SJ, as well as a member of the executive of Port City Rainbow Pride Inc. Mac is also a past chair of two Pride Weeks in St. John, and is the founder and creator of the Rainbow Peace March, which takes place every year. That's the commemoration of the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, and that takes place every year on May 17th, and it will be happening in a few short weeks. So that's something else you could attend if you felt so inclined. Volunteered with various service organizations, including president of Symphony New Brunswick. Currently, he sits on the board of the St. John Suicide Prevention Committee and the Provincial Committee to Establish a New Brunswick Transgender Healthcare Professionals Network. He was educated at the Atlantic Canadian Center for Studies in Funeral Services, studied sociology, at UMBSJ, and completed the post-degree program in social work at St. Thomas University. He's written many articles, including ones for Waves magazine, and has been interviewed by the Toronto Extra magazine, the Globe and Mail, and various other publications. And he is currently a social worker working in New Brunswick. So that gives you a little bit of background on Mac. And let's head over to the interview now, and I think you're going to really enjoy this, Max, a great speaker. And if you're out there listening, Mac, thank you again for taking the time to have a chat with us here on Queer Radio and on Local 107.3 FM. And I'll be back shortly. Here's an interview with Mac McKenzie. Welcome to Queer Radio. I'm Stephanie Tierney, and I'm joined today by Mac McKenzie. And Mac, do you want to start off our interview by telling our listeners a little bit more about yourself?
Well, thank you, Stephanie, and it's an honor for me to be on your show, and thank you for being a voice for the community out there in the greater St. John area. Well, I'm a social worker by day and a volunteer with various organizations by night and weekends, I guess, and over the years have been involved with some different facets of our community. I guess the one that I'm most passionate about certainly is PFLAG Canada, and I came to get involved with them through friends of ours, Wayne Harrison and Ross Levitt, who were co-founders of the St. John chapter of PFLAG Canada, and quite actively involved in the national organization as well. Wayne was the executive director of PFLAG Canada, and Wayne had for a number of years facilitated the meetings here in the St. John area at the Community Health Center, mm-hmm. which, if I can put a plug in, are the first Friday of every month, except for July and August, mm-hmm. and I truly believe that they've saved lives, because they have given people from the LGBT community a chance to go out and be affirmed for who they are and be supported for who they are, mm-hmm. and has also educated other family members as well about LGBT issues. So, mm-hmm. so that's really where I got my feet wet. But I was 32 years old when I came out as a gay man, having dated women and was engaged to get married to a woman, mm-hmm. and lived with a woman, and then. Finally, I realized after 32 years of having these feelings come and go that they weren't a phase, and they weren't, just a passing, phase. So they were very real feelings, and that the reason that I turned to alcohol at a younger age was to sort of quash those feelings. So. And certainly lived doing hazardous things over the years, that probably because of my of my low self-worth and self-hatred because of who I really was. So, so when I came out at the ripe old age of 32, a short time after that, about 2 years after that, I met my partner and we've been together ever since. So, he's always been the behind the scenes person, but he's been the rock who has certainly helped me to do the things that I've been involved with. So he's been supportive of my endeavors with PFLAG and my work with the UMBSJQ Collective when I was a student at UMBSJ, and we were both actively involved with the Port City Rainbow Pride, and which is now St. John Pride, so that's kind of our little history there, I guess. So.
Great. I was going to ask you a question about. Do you feel like things have changed in the LGBT community since you first came out, and do you feel like those changes are negative or positive or a bit of both? Or
well, I came out and let's see if I can get the year. I think it was 1997. And anybody listening can Google this to make sure that it's. I don't Google Mac coming out in 1997, but it was the same year that Ellen DeGeneres came out. And believe it or not, Ellen was a role model not just for me, but for I'm sure thousands of LGBT people across North America. Mm-hmm. And so she was kind of one of the catalysts for me. Mm-hmm. Sadly, not that long after I came out, a young man named Matthew Shepard was murdered. Because of his sexual orientation. And you and I both know that across Canada, the United States, and around the world, whether one is lesbian or transgender or bi or gay, they have been disparaged, fired from their jobs, not hired because they are transgender or lesbian or gay or bisexual, et cetera, et cetera. So, have things gotten better? Certainly, since 1977, things have gotten better. Mm-hmm. But my worry is that hatred and ignorance has become more covert, whereas it was quite overt. Mm-hmm. It was we had legislation, and just as recent as this year, some southern states in the U.S. Passed legislation working against. Members of the lesbian and gay community and the transgender community is not even on their radar. I don't even think they're not even going there yet. Their hatred hasn't quite reached that level yet. So, but we know that across North America, which is especially in Canada, we're supposed to be very progressive here. Some positive things have happened. Our military since 1991. Has allowed lesbian and gay servicemen and servicewomen to serve, as we know, only in the last year or so, thanks to President Barack Obama, have the U.S. reached that point. Mm. So, since 2005, gay and lesbians in Canada have been allowed to get married in every province, and that's a positive thing. Mm-hmm. And some provinces before that, B.C. and Ontario, Newfoundland and Quebec, have allowed that provincially, so that was quite progressive of them. Mm-hmm. But as I often say, the legislation can change with the swipe of a pen, but attitudes take generations. Mm-hmm. And still we have people who are not willing to educate themselves or to understand what LGBT issues are and to understand the differences between there's general ignorance out there that people just need to be educated, and once they are, it's fine. But there are people who really dig their heels in, and I think one of the biggest things that I see is understanding the difference between sexual orientation mm-hmm. and gender identity.
Right.
And that's just a matter of people being educated. And right. I think the community and the allies, our allies, need to. We just need to roll up our sleeves and we need to work harder mm-hmm. to educate people. And we can do that in a non-threatening way. I'm not an adversarial person most of the time, but I think it's important that we need to educate people who want to hear it and are willing to ask the questions. And and to talk to them about things that are appropriate to ask and things that aren't appropriate to ask. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that long ago that I know people would ask me the question, in my relationship, who's the husband and who's the wife? And I said, well, homosexual means that it's two people of the same sex that are together in a loving relationship. So if it was two women, there would be two wives. If it's two men, there'd be two husbands. So,
right.
And then further to that, I would say when, if for example, I identified as being a gay man named Mac, and then I realize that my gender is actually female and that I identify now as Maxine, mm-hmm. But I'm still attracted to men, my sexual orientation hasn't changed in who I'm attracted to. I'm attracted to men, therefore I was a gay man, and now I identify as a woman, so I'm attracted to men still, so now I'm a heterosexual woman.
Right, right.
And I think sometimes when I say that to people, that you know, to help them better understand the difference between sexual orientation and gender identity, there's a pause and you can see the gears going. So, right. But that's good because it's challenging them to think.
Right.
So to answer your question, not so brief away, there have been some very positive things that have happened. But every year we continue to have the Rainbow Peace March to commemorate the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. And we still hear people in the community who have been disparaged. and sadly, I see our sisters and brothers in the trans community, they are probably about where the gay and lesbian community was 20 or 25 years ago.
Right.
And it's still a struggle. I'm certainly heartened to see that so many people and organizations and other entities, agencies, companies, and et cetera, and even governments who have recognized that our citizens who are transgender have rights, and they've moved at a snail's pace, you know, like they did
right.
for the gay and lesbian community, but they are moving towards recognizing our trans sisters and brothers have rights as well, and we need to do something. And it could be something as simple as in a corporation saying, we need to have non-gender specific bathrooms,
right.
or we need to have a policy that recognizes that if this bathroom is identified for women, then that means it's identified for anyone who identifies as
right.
a woman.
Right.
And the same goes for the men's bathroom. So, and it may mean having a policy that is disseminated throughout the organization so that people understand that,
mm-hmm.
so they know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And or it may mean bringing somebody in for a workshop
right.
To talk about trans issues and to educate people. Because I think for the most part, people understand now. They can put a face to gay and lesbian issues and recognize that, oh, my sister is lesbian, or my hairdresser is gay, or my next-door neighbor, or the letter carrier is lesbian or gay, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
people can understand that now.
Right.
Bisexual sexual orientation still hasn't quite caught up to the lesbian and gay rights in the sense, or understanding in the sense that I find that people who have talked to me about being bisexual, if, say, for example, it's a woman, the woman's girlfriends, are straight girlfriends, are saying, well, you just haven't been with the right man yet, Susie. And then their lesbian friends are saying, well, you just haven't been with the right woman yet. So, and it's like, you don't understand. We are all on this spectrum.
Yeah.
From 0 to 6, if you go with Dr. Alfred Kinsey's findings, and I subscribe to that until somebody comes up with something different that mm-hmm. catches my eye. But and bisexuals are number 3, you know, whereas mm-hmm. heterosexuals are a number 0 or 1, and homosexuals are 5 or 6. So
That kind of leads into another question I wanted to ask you, which is that some people have suggested to me that transgender people are facing different struggles from their LGB peers and community. I was curious what your thoughts are on that, and do you feel like these groups would benefit from being separated, or do you think that unity is the key?
Well, I think unity, for me, unity is the key in all facets of life, whether it's people advocating for families who are living in poverty, and it means getting the Liberals, the Conservatives, the NDP, the Green Party, the Rhinoceros Party, or whatever. You know, politically, everybody needs to advocate for reduction or eventual elimination of poverty. I think the same is true, whether it's political entities or churches or nonprofit organizations or whomever. I think it's important for all of us, because it's we're talking about human rights issues and social mm-hmm. issues. I think it's cliche, but there's strengths in numbers, right?
Yeah.
But I also know that you know, I think it was not Margaret Mead, but the Canadian Dorothy Smith, a great sociologist, who talked about the knower, and our current Prime Minister Justin Trudeau talks about, he identifies as being a feminist, mm-hmm. And some feminists might say, well, he can't be a feminist because he is not a woman, and I'd heard that argument a number of years ago when I identified myself as being a feminist, and I thought, okay, well then maybe I'm an advocate for feminism, or I'm a supporter of feminism mm-hmm. and women's and girls' rights. So. But I was heartened when Justin Trudeau in the United Nations said that he was a feminist, and he is not a woman has experienced discrimination based on his gender, mm-hmm. but he can still be supportive and empathetic towards that cause. Mm-hmm. So I think as members of the LGB community, because we were sort of, you know, our community has been trailblazers in the last 50 years or whatever for all kinds of groups that have been discriminated against. I think that we can learn from people who have gone on before us to help trailblaze. And,
right.
And I think the transgender community is no different. You know, I think that the transgender community, without a doubt, there are strengths in organizing as the group of transgender people, and recognizing when we see others like us, that it's very affirming, and we can learn from others who identify as we do, whether a person is gay or lesbian or transgender or bisexual or what have you, or black or French or Syrian or you know. There are strengths in those groups, but I think I think that there could be possibly, and I'm just saying this off the top of my head, but there could be a fear that the transgender voice could get lost in the larger group, the larger LGB group, lesbian, gay, bisexual group, and that's certainly a very real possibility. And I think as someone who is not a member of the transgender community, but is a member of the LGB community, mm-hmm. I think it's important for me to recognize that, mm-hmm. just as it is for people who are members of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant heterosexual male diaspora or demographic or whatever. They need to realize that the world is not all white Anglo-Saxon Protestant heterosexual male.
Right.
That there are black women who are Muslim and in wheelchairs and don't speak English and identify as transgender, and that's probably the opposite end of the spectrum you can get from being a WASP, right? But I think the transgender community could do well to have supporters from that white Anglo-Saxon Protestant heterosexual male demographic as well. The LGB community would not be where we are today if it wasn't for some very brave souls from our community, but also brave souls from the allies of the LGB community.
Right.
And I think it would certainly behoove the transgender community to recognize that some of their closest allies are in the LGB community.
Mm.
Saying that, I know for a fact, and I'm perplexed by this, but there is discrimination that comes from the LGB community towards the T community.
Right.
And I can use an example from a PFLAG chapter that wanted to open in Canada, not here in Atlanta, Canada, but somewhere else in Canada. And it was some very good-hearted parents of LGBT children mm-hmm. who wanted to start a PFLAG chapter in their community. And they made it clear what they were capable of doing, and that was being able to work with LGBT members of the community, or their allies, or their parents, or their family members, et cetera, et cetera. And we reminded them, or PFLAG Canada reminded them that, you know, there's a letter that's missing there, and it's T.
Yeah.
And so when they went on further to explain what they meant by that, the organizers of that PFLAG chapter said, oh, we're not prepared to work with the transgender community. We don't believe in that or those people, et cetera, et cetera. So, PFLAG Canada was very quick to shut them down before they even started up. And they said, well, PFLAG started originally as parents and friends of lesbians and gays. And now to honor the history of the organization, we have kept the name, dropped the acronym. It's now just PFLAG Canada. And it is there for parents and friends of lesbians and gays, and not just parents and friends. It's there for next door neighbors and cats and rats and elephants mm-hmm. and social workers and teachers. And it's not just there for lesbians and gays, but it's there for our sisters and brothers in the transgender community mm-hmm. and our sisters and brothers in the bisexual community as well, mm-hmm. or people who are questioning. And that's the Q on the end of LGBTQ.
Right.
So.
Right.
And that was part one of an interview that I did with Mac McKenzie. Wasn't that great? I love Mac. He's such a great person and has so much insight into the queer community. And the great thing is that there are now two more episodes of Queer coming up in the next coming 2 weeks, and they will both also feature continuations of that interview. And so I hope you do continue to tune in. If you're on Facebook, you can find me. It's Queer, and it's spelled K-W-I-R. And we are broadcasting right here on Local 107.3 FM. I'm Stephanie Tierney, and I'm going to be with you every Monday from 2 to 2:30, and we are rebroadcast on rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. as well. So if you want to tune in again, or you want to tell somebody who couldn't listen live today, they can tune in again Wednesday at 9. I only have a few short minutes left, so I wanted to just give a few quick resources. If you're out there and identifying as transgender and you're looking for help, there is the Trans Lifeline in Canada. It's 877-330-6366. There's also the PFLAG main hotline, which is 888-530-6777, extension 555. And there's also a French hotline, which is 888-530-6483. I'm going to post those on the Facebook page, so if you didn't have a chance to write them down, go over to Queer, K-W-I-R, and I will post them probably in the next half an hour or so. The Rainbow Peace March is taking place. That's the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia at Harbor Passage on May 17th. I don't know the exact start time, but I will get that for you in the coming weeks. Also, further down the line, AJ Ripley will be joining me, as well as Dr. John Dornan, a local endocrinologist who helps transgender patients in the St. John area. And So I'm going to have two more interviews with Mac coming up, or two more continuation episodes with Mac. So you want to stick around for that. We get even more deep into some of the issues facing the queer community in St. John and globally, for that matter. So tune in again next Tuesday from 2 to 2:30 right here on Local 107.3 FM. Thanks for tuning in, and I will talk to you again next Monday at 2. Have a great week, people.